Ja, jag skriver om sådana här. Rin. It's a good place to start. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you honor for this moment. This moment is yours, and we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. Before you get there and start yelling that you know it already, I beg to differ by your lifestyle. Close the door. Write all of these down, just in case I don't get to all of them. Luke chapter 16, Luke 16, John 15, Matthew 16, Luke chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. I'll give you scriptures out of them, but I would rather that you read. Reading has always been a good thing when to study the word. I'd rather you take time and read through it. I say them again: Luke 16, John 15, Matthew 16, Luke 10 and Mark 10, and I'm just giving you those amongst your normal study time, kind of along the line of what we're going to talk about tonight. But right there in John chapter 14, verse 6, and it's a lot of our favorite. Read the scripture. Ready, read. Who said it?
Jesus.
Okay, so we should be listening, right? Like, it's not, and thank God for Paul and Peter and Moses and Noah and everybody else, right? God bless all of them. But right there, that's the man we're looking for right there. All right? So start from again. Ready, read.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me.
I read a translation just now. Jesus said, I'm the road. I'm the road and I'm how to walk it. Don't nobody, and I want you to listen to this. Now, how many of y'all knew that before we read that just now? Like you knew that scripture. Come on, how many of y'all knew that scripture before we read it just now? You done heard it before, right? Come on, man, come on, you done heard it? Some of us know about heart. We might not, sometimes we remember what it is, but we don't know where it's at. But as soon as you start it off, I can finish it, right? Right? Yeah, you've heard that before, and we go over it. One of the things that we do with God, somebody texted me this morning and said, you know, and he was kind of having a deep revelation. He said, you know, how many times do we call God Father? You know, and he was saying, you know, I don't think we call him Father enough. And then he started saying that, you know, rules and judgment comes from God, but, you know, favor and that comes from a father. He's one of my friends, you know, if he sees this, he'll laugh at it. But I said, you know, all those things are semantics. We do a lot of that in church. Semantics is we come up with cooler acronyms. We come up with deep words about things. We come up with deep things and we call them a revelation, but yet we never change. We should call him Father, and we should call him Father more. And I said, well, no, you need God the Father. You need the whole process to get the whole process of who he is. Many times we kind of go through things and we'll have these scriptures and we'll know them and we'll see them, but we don't take them for face value. We don't dig in them enough for it to change us. We do a lot of playing around. I lost my thought. This he said, God, I found out something about, I was in a meeting last week and was in Houston with Apostle. If you didn't watch, shame on you. I don't understand that concept of thinking. I will never understand that concept of thinking to where you just don't keep up. I don't care what you were doing. I will never understand it. We have an example of Jesus in front of us, in the flesh, walking with us on the regular. So I just never understand that. So we're in the meeting on Thursday, and he said it, but while he was saying it, I'm looking at it, and I'm I caught myself doing like this, and I started. I cried for like the last maybe 15 minutes of service. Like, just I'm talking about crying. Like, and it wasn't even like a crying moment. You know, we have our crying moment. We get in our feelings in worship, right? Or you felt bad all week, and now you got your crying moment to let it all out in church. Y'all know how we do. We get emotional, don't we? We call it the Spirit of God, but sometimes it just be, we just in our feelings, right? All right, amen. If we be honest with ourselves, we tell the truth. But I'm crying the whole second half of the, like the second, the last, about 15, 20 minutes of service. And I'm sitting and I'm looking at him like this. Like, oh. And I almost, I don't know, I don't want to be deep and sound like I heard it, but I almost felt like I said, ain't my daddy no more. Like, that just ain't dad. Like, I know, you know, we call him dad. I get that part, but like, that just ain't daddy no more. Like, that's something else. Like Montreal, you gotta, and I always treat with respect. And I've always treated with utmost respect. And I always knew how to, I know who's who. Like, I know when the daddy talking to me, I know when, like, I know how to, but he's like, no, he different. Right. Amen. And so when the guys are talking about the revelation this morning, I realized that sometimes we take for granted God because we become familiar with him. With Apostle right now, dad, that's my daddy. I see a lot of preachers' kids that lose out on ministry because they don't understand the process. I see a lot of us that lose out because that's my pastor, but you don't understand your pastor's been elevated to something else, right? And so because we become familiar, I was about to say the Bible says, but the Bible doesn't say this, but the old statement says familiarity breeds contempt. It breeds it, you know, like you breed it, like you make it. Familiarity will always make you have contempt. What is contempt? A lack of respect. You take somebody normal that's abnormal. You take somebody and make them a normal person, and you treat them like it's just run of the mill when it's probably one of the most special people you met in your life. And so you become familiar. You become familiar. And if I allow myself to become familiar with Apostle, if I allow myself to become familiar with him, then there'll be some places where I'll be walking in disrespect. Anytime you, like I say about the meeting, come on, you didn't watch it. Well, you familiar. You thought he was going to say something that you knew already. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you didn't care. Mm-hmm. Right? Either way, you're in error. Right. Either way, you're in a place where you need to be somewhere else. The people of God in 2016, in the Western civilization over here in America and everything, you know, we think we got it made, but we weak. Yes. We weak because we be all over the place and we think we got something going on. We don't. Prove it that you don't have nothing going on, because the stuff that I see Jesus doing, most of us ain't. And that's the goal. I think what happens is, you know the scripture before, huh? John 14 and 6. You knew it, didn't you? Huh? You can quote it, huh? Anybody can quote it? We probably can quote it right now. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth. And come on, and they're like, you know it. No man coming to the Father but by me. Right? We know it. But I think in somewhere along the line, I think we've become familiar with the word of God. We've become familiar with the word of God to the point to where, oh, that's John 14 and 6. I know that one already. Well, do you really know it or are you informed? Remember that? You remember the difference, right? Informed and knowing. Did you take it and have intercourse with the word? Could you think about this for a second? We don't have to go much further. Now I will go further for the sake of teaching the class, but we wouldn't have to go much further than this next statement I'm about to make. John 14 and 6. Read it again. Ready? Read. And Jesus answered. Have you ever had an intimate intercourse with that one scripture? You can quote it. You know where it is. But right now, in a particular moment, let's not go to John 14 and 7 yet, which is powerful stuff going on. And let's not go to any of the other scriptures I wrote down yet. Let's not do that. Pause. Calm me. Say loud. Pause and calm me. Think about this for a minute. Let's calm down right quick. Have I allowed myself to become intimate with that scripture right there? Jesus is saying, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, not nobody, nobody, no man, not you. Nobody can come unto the Father. We're not talking about going to heaven right now. We're not talking about going to glory right now. We're talking about glory here. But can't nobody come unto the Father and the Father's will and the Father's way. Can't nobody do it but by me. There ain't no other way around. Ain't no book you're going to read that's going to bring you to the Father but by me. Ain't no scripture you're going to read that's going to bring you to the Father but by me. Like I'm the door. You cannot get to that level of godliness without Jesus. So have I been intimate with this? Because if I have been, let's be honest now. If I have been, Doug, if I have been intimate with this scripture, then it changes my perspective on my life. But we knew it though, didn't we? So we become familiar. So becoming familiar, people become familiar in relationships and with family and with different things. So because we become familiar, you're familiar, so now you take for granted. So you don't talk like you used to. You don't. You take for granted what's going on because you are. I would say tonight, don't become familiar with these scriptures. Whenever you're approaching the Word of God, approach it like it's a new day. Approach it looking for something fresh. Approach it looking like it's something that I didn't have before. Because truth of the matter is, if I can look at the scripture, and I know that most of my day to day, I wasn't at the Father. Come on, he said, come on, look at the scripture. John, he said, no man coming to the Father but by me, right? But most of my functioning today was my functioning. Tell the truth. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Come on, man. Listen, hold on, man. Now throw your church amens, all that stuff out the door. Like right now, I need you to be honest with yourself and honest with me, all right? I'm going to keep it 100. You keep it 100, all right? Most of my actions today wasn't at the Father. I didn't have no for anybody. I had a phenomenal. No. But we're supposed to have them happening every day. What's going on? Some kind of way, I didn't allow myself to realize that he was the way, and I didn't change my way to his. Some kind of way, I didn't realize that he was the truth, so I didn't change my truth to his truth. Right? Because see, we all walk around with our own truths. But if it ain't the truth, then it ain't truth. I didn't change my life to his life. John chapter 15. The Holy Spirit help us so that this can hit home. John chapter 15, a lot of these scriptures you're familiar with them too. You know, you've seen them. Huh? Now go to verse 7. Look at verse 7. You know that one, don't you? Huh? Go ahead and read it. All right, now time out, let me take a side break. I cannot allow myself to go to bed every night and wake up every day and my life be normal and act like ain't nothing wrong with me. We some of the biggest fakers. I ain't my church people, just people. We front about all kind of stuff. We never want to look like we got a deficiency somewhere. You know you are deficient though, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. Hold on. You know in this infirm body that you're in, right? You know with this thorn in the flesh, all of us got them, right? You know that you're not good by yourself, right? Come on, everybody say amen. I need you to say amen to own up. If you believe it, say amen. We gotta own up to the fact that we got problems already. Perfection. When we're talking about perfection, we're talking about maturity. We're talking about growing up in him. Perfection is not a moment. It's not today I wasn't perfect, tomorrow I'm perfect. It's a lifestyle. It's a constant. I heard today that perfection is not a movement. I mean, it's not a moment. It's a movement. It's a constant thing. We're constantly being perfected. We're constantly being perfected and turned into something better than we are. I can't allow myself to live this mediocre life. Do you ever get tired of it?
Yes.
Come on, you got to answer me like you're tired of it.
Yes.
Do you ever get tired of the same old thing going on all the time? I get tired of seeing something needs to be changed. I can't change it because I won't change. I get tired of passing by people. I know what would have happened if Jesus would have passed by some of these people we pass by on a day-by-day basis. I know some of these people would get up. I know some of these people would be cleared up. I know some of these people would be free from all the things they're going through if I would just change, though. I can't allow myself to think that I'm okay right now because I'm not. You can say the same thing about your, I don't care how long you prayed today. If it wasn't no miracles going on, maybe your prayers were in vain. You know you can pray in tongues in vain? I heard the Holy Spirit say something to me today. Can I tell y'all what he told me? John 5:39. Anybody know what it says right quick? Nobody know. I'll be saying it every week. I'll be saying it. I say it every week this semester. Thank you. Lord Jesus. Whoo! Search the scriptures. Why? You know you think you have like, and that's cool right there. And they which do what? But then what happens to us? But you won't come unto me that you'll have eternal life, right? Right? We won't come up. And I'm walking and I heard somebody praying in tongues in the hallway. And I'm walking and I walk around the corner and the Holy Spirit said, go ahead and pray in tongues. For in that you think you're getting power. But that's testifying of me. But in your tongues, you won't come all the way to me. And so if you don't come all the way to me, you're vain babbling. You like the ones in the streets that want to be heard. What you focus on when you're praying in tongues? What you looking? Are you trying to get a revelation or are you trying to get Jesus? What you looking for? He told me clear as day today. Go ahead. Pray in tongues. For in them you think you got power. Why? Jude 20 say, what you doing when you're praying?
In your most holy faith.
You build up yourself on your most. What kind of faith? Did they say build up yourself on faith? You build up yourself. So that's something that's holy faith too. Uh-oh. If they got a most holy one. Right? 34, 64, 100-fold. One talent, two talent, five talent. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. There's levels to this, right? Right, right. So now you're telling me I'm building up myself. You're looking at me, I'm building up myself on my most holy faith. Well, who got the most holy faith? Who do we know? Abraham was the father of faith. God blessed Abraham. Abraham also laughed when God told him he was going to have a baby at an old age. Okay, so the faith was a little shaky at that moment, right? Right, right, right. And they made a couple decisions that we're dealing with now in generations.
Yes.
We go through all of them. How you going to do this, Lord? How you going to do it? Well, Jesus was one of the only ones I really didn't see faulty in that.
Right. Right.
The most holy. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it's bringing you to him. All right, when you're speaking, tell us what you're speaking. The mysteries? Jesus is the greatest mystery that ever lived on the face of this earth. Now, you're a mystery too, but you just don't know it. You are a parable. You just don't know it. You a mystery, but you don't know it. So you're praying in tongues looking for a mystery when you are the mystery. Because it's perfect now. It's perfect. See, the Holy Ghost is how the Holy Ghost is working when you teach him. The Holy Ghost is going to work and line things up for you in a perfect manner, better than you could do it on your own. All right, we just got to get out the way sometimes. All right, and now I'm over. I'm going to skip. We're going to go back to John 15. Go to Luke 16. Luke 17, go to chapter 17, verse 21. You know this one too. Now you are, what you must realize is, and this is what Jesus was trying to show us, but we don't see it because we don't pay attention. We don't see it because we don't give enough attention. What you focus on does what? When you focus on something, whatever it is that you focus on, you can think about all the things that you focus on today, it got bigger. But if you keep on focusing on that bank account and how much ain't in there, well, that how much ain't in there going to get bigger. It's going to be a bigger deficit. If you keep focusing on the fact that you got this ailment going on in your body, and you ever thought about something that might have struck pain, and then you thought about it, and it was all of a sudden now it's always hurting, right? Because you focus on it, now it's expanding. What you focus on does what? Expand. So that means whatever I focus on, whatever I give my focus to, that's going to be the thing that's going to grow in my mentality. What about Jesus? So here we go. Now you're looking for a mystery when you are the mystery. I prove Jesus the mystery. What kind of man is this? He come from the hood. I did a little research and I read a couple books and they started talking about the background. So we don't do enough background on it. I don't know if we really love him like we say we do, because if I really love them like I said I do, I want to know everything about what did you grow up, Jesus? How did you grow up? What did you like to do when you were younger? Well, we ain't no record, but I'm going to look anyway, right? Like, what was going on? Where did you come from? Where you from? That's the first thing you ask when you meet somebody. Where you from? That's how you ask Jesus, where you from? Well, we know he's Jesus of Nazareth, but that was a name for us. That was just like Jesus Christ. Well, Nazareth, they say, was a hotbed of what they call zealots. A zealot is like these people that's blowing up stuff right now. They call them terrorists. Yeah, it was that wild. They were the wild ones. And Jesus was born. He was Jesus of Nazareth. So now Jesus in the hood. It's a mystery. Can any good thing come out the hood? It's a mystery, though. Because you would have thought he's the king of he would have got him from off the mountain in the glistening gold or he got no. Born in a manger. Mm-hmm. Born in a manger, and he's from the hood. Right? And then this child in flesh and blood, his mama ain't never had sex before. There was no artificial insemination. Y'all know he ain't wasn't nothing of that. The man was a mystery. Then he comes and it was mystic to them that he's in the synagogues at 12 spitting knowledge to them. And then when he comes along, they could not figure him out. Do y'all realize Jesus had an answer for everybody? I don't know if y'all we don't study him enough, do we? Tell the truth. Come on, y'all. Right now, come on, amen. We'll look at him enough. I think we're infatuated. We may not be in love. Infatuation is real close to love. Like it looks like infatuation to love is like a cubic zirconium to a diamond. It look almost the same until you look a little closer. I mean, I almost got the same feelings and emotions. We become infatuated with Jesus because he's the exciting moments. And do you know him? And then we become infatuated. But when you are in love, you're taken back by a person. You're taken back by that. I can't get it off my mind. Huh? I can't stop. When I got a break, I'm calling. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. What am I doing? I'm writing letters. I'm doing all kind of different stuff. I'm like, that's where we at. Do you love him? Do you love him? They gonna check your love, ain't it? Uh-huh. You go back, get in the car. Do I really love him? That's what I want. I want that to happen. The mystery. Then he coming in, and then he ministry get to popping. His ministry gets to popping. Like he start doing all kind of stuff. Start knowing people that he ain't supposed to know. They open up blind eyes where nobody else could do it before. And they had preachers out there. Oh, they had preachers out there before him. Churches, synagogues, all that. They couldn't get it done. Here he go, he getting it done from the hood. He didn't come from none of their school of thought. He come doing it and everything start popping. I mean, we go all the way from one end to the other. It wasn't just miracles. Somebody got up from the dead and he was stinking. My Lazarus come forth. Lazarus, get on up. We done went from spectrum to spectrum. He can do it all. And he's doing it all, breaking bread, feeding thousands, paying people taxes, doing all, getting people whole households saved, doing it all. Then he start talking. He start telling them, I got to die. It don't make no sense. It ain't had to. There's a mystery. If I do it the conventional way, then everybody knows how that way is going. And maybe somebody can try to stop you. The Bible even says that if the enemy would have known that he was the one that was going to set it free, he'd have never let him kill him. It's a mystery. Oh, Lord Jesus, stop crying because you're getting killed. It's a mystery, y'all. God trying to, I heard Paul say this yesterday. He said, God trying to sneak some love to you. So that the enemy can't see it. But you keep crying and you keep talking. You telling the game plan to the enemy in your prayer time. That's why you need to pray in tongues. I'm trying to get back over here. That's why you need to pray in tongues more than you pray in English, because he can't understand the tongues. But he know English real good, though. So you get to telling your dreams to everybody. And get talking about all the stuff God going to do with you. And then you wonder why he didn't do it, because it got stopped. What do you think would happen if the American government and the Department of Defense started telling everybody else the bomb codes? Or they told them, oh, this is where we're going to land at, right here. We come in, we're going to take over on this side right here. Yeah. How you think that's going to work out? Huh? the children as well in this generation. Wiser than the children. We praying ours. Lord, look, girl, he going to use me. This is what he going to do. He told me to do bop, 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 bop. And it never happens. Because you done told the enemy your plan. You the parable. You are the mystery. If you allow yourself to be the mystery, be the mystery. Don't worry about that you get cut a little bit. I was reading it. We're going to read about the vine right now. He said he pruned you. Just so you can bear more. You the mystery. So you the mystery. And so I prove it to you that you're a mystery. Because they, were you, verse 21? Was 17, 21, right?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Verse 20. Start to read. Go ahead. I want you to read. Read. Go. Read together. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Read. Now, hold on now. Whenever you hear Jesus answer to them and said, you need to slow down. You need to realize that something is about to happen. So we don't even do that with our men of God right now. We just, amen. No. When he about to say something, he about to say something. And Jesus answered and said, I need to calm right down. I need to get my head together. We don't do that. Usually we read through this because we're trying to conquer the Bible, ain't we? I'm trying to finish my reading for the day. Do you love him? And Jesus, he said. And then what he said after that? After it says he said, it get red, right? You see, like the letters actually turn red, right? Yeah. Then what he start saying?
The kingdom of God does not come.
Keep going. He talking to them. He said, whoa. It don't come with observation. It don't come about what you see. Right? But the kingdom of God, he didn't say the kingdom of God was within me, like himself. Jesus didn't say that in that tense. Because it would have been different if he had said that. Because it would be like, well, Jesus got it and I don't have it. But Jesus said, low here, low there. No. The kingdom of God is within. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the mystery. You don't have to go get a mystery. You are the mystery. You don't have to go get a revelation. You are the revealing. If you allow him to unfold you. You the message. Yeah, you get a message. You the message. I prove to you. John 15. I don't want to get. Flip over there quick. Because these classes be flying. I'm going to start reading when I get there. I'm the true vine. My father is the husbandman. It's talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus talking right now is in red. Every branch that in me that bear not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Stop crying about getting cut. I can't purge you with no lotion. I can't purge you with no cotton swabs. I got to get out some knives, then some scissors, some cutters, and some blades. And I get them loose leaves off of you. I got to get that stuff off of you that ain't bearing nothing. Gotta bleed a little bit. Stop crying when you get cut. Know when you get cut, you about to go up. It's just making a new spot for a new fruit. I got cut more than you all. And Paul said, I've gotten cut more than you all. And I've gotten cut and I cried. Then I don't want to talk too much right now because the cutting ain't over. Might catch one sometime tonight or tomorrow. I don't even know when I'm going to catch it. But I know I'll take it like a champ. Take it like a man. I know I'll take it like a champ, right? Then I take that cutting and I get that cutting because I realize that cutting is making me something. He said something to me one day. We were all talking. We did a session with some of the first members from the old Mount Zion Church. And so afterward, I had some of the young people. And afterward, he came out and started talking to us. And he would just go. And I heard him say something the other day. And I heard him say something before, but then I realized what was going on. He said, but I had never heard him say this before. And he said, I don't know how we got over on the conversation, and the Spirit was just doing whatever he wanted to do. And he was talking, and he said, "See, you gotta." He made the statement. He said, "You used to think my trail was all special. Y'all heard him say that before. You used to think my trail. I had to tell him leave him alone, right? But then he made the statement. He said I had to talk down to him a little bit sometimes. I never heard him say that before. He said I had to talk down to him. I almost had to kind of talk down to him sometimes." To kind of keep him leveled off or make sure that he was. And I said, Lord, and I knew that. But when I heard that, I was like, cool. Like, I get it. That means I'm growing. Wow. If don't nobody ever correct you, that means you're invisible.
That's right.
Listen, when you in the game, Doug, right? Come on, Jason, in the game. When you really in the game, coach, when you in the game, you best believe you're going to get some kind of correction because you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
But at least you in the game. You might throw the ball out of bounds, make a bad pass, but at least you are in the game. There is no such thing as getting in the game and making flawless moves. But the better you get, the more efficient you get, the more practice, the more efficient you get, it becomes muscle memory. And things begin to work better, but you're in the game. If you ain't getting no correction, that means you're on the bench. You need to figure out how to get in the game. You need to figure out how to get the coach to throw you in the game and then be ready for that licking. And I remember my coaches didn't Montrell, listen, you messed up on everything. Boy, if you don't get yourself together and go get up to the end of the bench. And they said a couple of explicit words to kind of send it home. If you get cut, you're going up. Stop being all in your feelings about stuff, man. Like, stop being so soft. This is wrong with the church too. As soon as somebody cuts you, now you're ready to leave. As soon as somebody cuts you, now you're ready to quit. Now, can I be honest? Can I keep wondering with it? I don't know where we're going right now, but I'm going to go back to this. I'll be honest with you. When I get cut, in my mind, I'll be ready to quit. Y'all don't want to keep it 100, man. Like, in my mind, I'll be like, I ain't doing nothing. No, I'll never touch that again. I'll never go over there, and you get quiet. Oh, who you talking to me? No, I'm not saying nothing else no more. That's y'all thing right there. Y'all know you feel well if you got cut. You know, well, I ain't. But see, your feelings getting cut too. It's making some resilience out of you. I always learn that the people out there don't care about you. The people in the house gonna whoop your tail. To prepare you for the whooping they're going to try to get you out there. I said, I don't, that's y'all thing. I ain't doing that no more. I quit. I ain't going to do it no more. I quit. Don't rebuke me. I quit. This ain't my position no more. I don't want this position no more. That's the one you're praying for now. Hold on, the same? Promotion of the Spirit that you're praying for. Lord, use me, Lord. Use me more. Lord said, you know, when you get out here like that, you start bearing fruit. You know, the next thing come a purging. I want to bear fruit, G. Are you sure? Because when that fruit get picked, it's got to purge you for the next level of fruit. And nobody won't get cut. Nobody won't get hit. Don't hit me. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide, that means live in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, how? Of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you. Look at me. No more can you, except you abide in me. That's what Jesus is saying. Now I don't think we read these. We can't read them the way we be living. We can't really believe this the way we live. Come on, I'll say it again. We cannot really believe that Jesus meant this with the way that we live. I want to take it home. I want to sit here for a minute. You need to understand who's talking to you right now and how much you ignore those words. Live in me and I in you, because you can't bear no fruit without me. And he says again, I am the vine, you are the branches. Repetition. He's trying to make sure you know exactly what he's talking about. I'm the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much? Much fruit. It isn't just fruit, much fruit. For without me, look at that statement. Look at that last statement. Look at it.
Look at it. What it say? For without me, what? I want you to say, but for without me. Say the before without me part. Go ahead. Say it again. Say it again. Close your eyes, picture Jesus, whatever you think he look like. Close your eyes, go ahead, picture him right now. He's standing there right there. He's talking to you in his mouth. Whatever you color you think he is, I ain't got no time to get into all that. He's a black man, white man, I don't care. He's Jesus. All right, close your eyes. Look at him for a second. He's talking to you right now, and I want you to say it, but he's going to say it to you. Go ahead and say it. Go. Mm-hmm. Oh, you go open him now. What we've been doing, all this stuff we've been doing. Come and think about this for a minute. All these ideas we got and all these ventures we jump on and all these actions, all these decisions we making all day long. What have we been doing? I can't live like it's okay. I can't live like I don't need to come up. What have we been doing? The man just told me, for without me, you can't do nothing. So that means whatever I'm doing, and I can't find him in it, it ain't nothing. People's businesses come to nothing because Jesus ain't in it. People's relationships come to nothing because Jesus ain't in it. People's endeavors come to nothing. It will always be, and later on, he's talking, I don't know if I got time to read. He said, if you ain't bearing fruit, I'm going to cast that branch off, and they're going to come gather the sticks and cast it in the fire. Because it ain't worth nothing. That's why he cursed that tree, because it ain't worth nothing. It wasn't bearing no fruit. A tree supposed to have fruit. You look like a tree, but you ain't got no fruit. What'd I do with you? What you want me to do with you? What you want me to do with you? Come on. Let's make it on just simple terms. You work for me, and we had a job, but you don't never do what you're supposed to do. What do you want me to do? You know what you want? What do you expect to happen? You're gonna get rid of it. Now that's what I'm gonna do, but you want me to keep you.
Yeah.
Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. Then you start talking about my family. No. You wouldn't think about your family when you're trying to do it your own way. What are we doing? What are we thinking about? Who mine is it? For man abide not in me as cast forth of the branch, and wither men gather them up and cast them to the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me, live in me. Don't visit me. Don't come for the holidays. Don't come in your devotion time, whatever that is, in the morning. You live in me. If conditional. If. That means you might not be. Possibility that you won't. If you abide in me. Look at it, verse 7. Read it. If you abide in me. What happened? What else? Then what happened? Now we keep asking for stuff though. We ask. Cause we go to other scripture. You have not because you ask not. Well, how you asking though? If you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, in the character of Jesus, you ask like Jesus asked, then you get the answer like Jesus get. But we ask him, but that's what you want. Anything you ask in my name, that's what you're looking for, huh? Right? But you got to abide. Abiding in the vine. The old song, abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, help, he has made in mine. You remember that? I have prosperity, power, and victory. Some of y'all know that song. Huh? Abiding in the vine. Oh, abiding in the vine. And go right back. This is the song that never ends. It goes on around. But I'm talking about all the things. Matthew's. Matthew 16, all right, and we go to this in both classes a lot, right? Matthew 16, we talk about Jesus, Peter had the revelation, right? Yeah. Who do men say that I am, right? We love that one, and we get a lot of revelation out there. Thank God for that. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 13 said, he came to Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they go on and say, you know, some say Elias and Jeremiah, and some say John the Baptist. He said, who said this? Simon Peter answered up. Y'all know he got brave, right? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He probably said it strong, too. Jesus answers, so Jesus go in on him. Bless art thou, Simon, but John, flesh and blood is not revealed this unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven, verse 18. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it's just off of one little revelation. Jesus started going in. All this stuff going to happen to you because you understand. All this stuff going to happen to you because you know me. Because you have a revelation of me. Like you got a revelation. I counted. And I think I counted one time. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 scriptures later, he went from being the one that had a revelation to Satan. Don't you think more highly than you ought to think? Oh, that's a good answer right there. You got a good answer. In the name, look at you, got a good answer. Uh-huh. The next, you did eight scriptures. I can prove to you now. So now I can prove to you with this that we're still abiding in the vine. You cannot bear fruit without being connected to the vine. You the branch, he the vine. If I'm not connected to the vine, then I won't bear fruit. That means I can't bear fruit, I can't partake of fruit, because everything comes from the vine. Jesus said, I'm the way. And the same for them, he said, you can't do nothing without me. Ain't nothing going to happen. Now, you need to think about it on a daily basis. This ain't going to work if I can't find Jesus in it. Huh? But I can prove to you can get a revelation and lose it. We want revelation knowledge, and God bless you, revelation knowledge. I'm not making light of it, what I'm saying right now. But I can prove to you now that you can get a revelation and lose it. Go look at it. Look at it. What verse? That's verse what? Eight scriptures later. So now we at verse 23. We're at verse 23? Yeah. And what first, let's start 21. We'll start 21. And he said, in the time of Jesus began to show his disciples. Now, I'm prone to believe that Jesus right there showing the disciples, but he don't think he's showing Peter, because Peter got the revelation. So now I'm talking. So now Peter and Jesus standing right here. You know, like, stand up with me right quick. Stand up real quick. Like the disciples over there. And so now Peter got the revelation. So Peter right here. Peter right there with Jesus. And they like, yeah, like, amen, corner. So here we go. So, all right, I'm going to switch. So Jesus, he going on Peter in the back like. So Jesus begin to do what he does. We'll just start to spit that knowledge to him, right? And it says in verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Y'all see that? So Peter, Peter supposed to know. So Jesus is thinking Peter knows already. Peter got the revelation. Here come Peter, all out of order. All out. Look at that scripture. Verse 22, what it says? Wait, he did what first? No, what he did first, though? So Peter decides to tell Jesus. Come here, Jesus. Let me holler at you for a second. Y'all see that? Like, Jesus, let me get you together right. And then grab, so you got to grab him under that arm, under that back arm. Jesus, let me get you together right quick. Let me take you to the side. Let me talk to you. Can I talk to you for a second?
Yes.
And then he won't tell Jesus. And he don't tell Jesus. What's the next thing he did? Oh, that's that cutting. So he thought he could cut Jesus now. And Jesus said, you won't let me go. And then he said, no, thank you, I appreciate it. I ain't going to say that to you, what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said, if you don't unhand me, come on, put it in today's hand. If you don't let my arm go, I'm going to call these angels, I swear. Right? Get behind me, Satan. That's Peter. That's Apostle Peter, though. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So what happened to Peter then? I'll tell you what happened to him. But I'll tell you what happened. Peter had an idea, but he wasn't identified with Christ. He didn't realize that everything Jesus was telling him was who he was. He didn't realize that Jesus' whole life was a testament of his own life. You think because you got your name and your birth certificate and your social security number that that's who you are. No, you Jesus.
Right?
Right? You him. You like you now you I know you ain't the one that's because you clearly you're here. Don't get all stupid with it now, all right? Montrell said I was Jesus. No, Montrell did not say that, okay? Don't you go tell nobody that. But what I'm saying is this. Don't get, y'all not gonna get me fired. I'll come and call everybody a lie. All of them lying. All of them lying. All of them lying, Dad. I'm gonna call him Dad. That's all of them lying, Dad. But he didn't identify fully with the Christ. Because if you really had an identification with him, then you'd have known that when he started talking about being killed, that that was the part of the process. But you didn't go all the way. You searched the scriptures, but you didn't go all the way. Right? So not because you don't go all the way, you lose revelation. It happens to us all the time. You ever been in service and had a hot revelation? Your pastor would have preached a hot revelation. Tuesday, you forgot it? Come on, y'all. Come on. Amen. Everybody say amen so nobody sound crazy. Everybody say amen. So Tuesday, you forgot about it and you lost it. You let it go. Yeah. It happened to all of us, right? Yeah. So now you got to go back and listen to the tape, right? But you lost it because you wasn't identified with the Christ in it. Name a subject. This is the subject we're talking about in church. You about to say faith?
Yeah,
faith. Name a subject. Grace. Come on, name a subject.
So.
Honor. Come on.
So.
Sowing. All right, come on. Oh, come on. You can go all day long, right? You trying to go take faith. You done heard the preacher. Preacher, now he preaching like Jesus. But because you're not looking like Jesus, you don't hear like Jesus. So it doesn't resonate with the Jesus inside of you because you don't even know it's in there. You're not even identified with your true self because you got all these other voices telling you who you are. You got more people in your ear than Jesus. You barely go to the Gospels to read it. But you read Proverbs every day. God bless Proverbs, but that wasn't Jesus talking. In Jesus is the proverb. Inside of Jesus. So what we do is we take faith off the tree. We come to church. And we pull the faith. He give us faith. He teaches faith. And we pull it off. We pull a revelation off. And so now we go on trying to live. They're going to try to live it. Ran off on the plug, right? We didn't go on trying to live it. And now we no longer connected to the vine. We done ran off from the power source, all right? So I'm trying to go live grace, but we don't realize that Jesus is grace. So what happens is the fruit withers. Your sowing withers. Your honor withers, your grace, your faith, it withers because you haven't come all the way to Jesus. Now, if you come all the way to Jesus, you say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That means there's life in it. That means there'll always be life in it. You get everlasting life. He's talking about if you come all the way, right? Right? They'll always have life. But you're trying to live life without life. Sound like a zombie to me. So where you at? Where you be at all day? In your head. Where you be at all day? What you be thinking about all the time? What you turn that on. You turn that on. Listen, I ain't trying to judge you. Ain't no judgment. All love. I be saying that when the altar call. All love. No condemnation. All love. Ain't nobody trying to judge. But when you turn that on, where Jesus at? If he ain't in there, ain't nothing happening. If you're reading that and ain't Jesus in there, then ain't nothing going on. Where your head at? What mind you letting in there? Y'all searching all over the place for a bunch of stuff. Low here, low there. Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. Do your finger like that. Jesus. That's it. That's all you need. You get him, you got all the rest of that stuff. Amen. Broke a sweat, huh?